Commission. And so this Saturday, Brother Jordan, Brother Vajaleski, and Sean Heim, at least, are going down there, and they're going to preach the Word of God and have a service, holy service, for homeless men to the tune of about 60 to 80 of them. And a tremendous gospel opportunity, and it needs supported in prayer, doesn't it? Everything needs supported in prayer. And so we want to have prayer tonight over that as our prayer focus going into this week. And I would like to ask Brother Jordan just to stand and pray over this ministry that's taking place on Saturday. Would you do that to start our service? Amen. You should be aware that, of course, they're not going to come up here to church, but Calvary Independent Baptist Church of Dundalk goes to the mission, and the guys that want to come, they take them to church there. And that's a good gospel preaching church. So it is our desire that maybe somebody would get saved and then they could grow in a local church there. And so be praying for that meeting this coming Saturday night. We do it on the fifth Saturday, so we get four times a year to go down there. And this will be, I think, our third time. Is that right? Third time down? So be praying for those men as they go down on Saturday evening. A lot going on this weekend, isn't there? And that's a good outreach. All right, we want to take some testimonies tonight, and then we're going to turn it over to Violet and Esther, right? I almost said Valerie, which is my daughter-in-law, but Violet and Esther, they're going to give you a little brief presentation of where they're going this summer, missions trip opportunity. But if you have a word of testimony, let's start off with those, and we'll start off with Peggy in the back. Go ahead, Peggy. Amen. I got to go over and see Tess, right, Tessa, get baptized. And that's always a thrill to see a child take a step of growth in their life after salvation. And that's worth rejoicing over. Amen. Good news tonight from Peggy. Somebody else with a testimony that you'd like to share? Caprice? That's the Victorian Villa, is that right? Okay, the Victorian Villa. We'll try to pray over that as we open the service in prayer. Let's see. I think it Trevor ought to give a testimony because he shared something very good with me today. So, Trevor, why don't you just share what God did through you recently? Amen. Amen. 6 years of prayer, sowing, reaping, right? Reaping. Thank the Lord for that. That's good news. It's good to have them up our way. Somebody else with a testimony tonight? Brother Ed, go ahead. Amen. 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 Good testimony. Maybe one more tonight. Anybody else got testimony on the tip of their tongue? Elizabeth? Amen. Amen. Good. Pray that she has a healthy baby tomorrow, right? Scheduled for tomorrow. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Father, we do pray for the Victorian Villa Ministry, Lord. We pray that you would equip those nursing homes around us with staff, Lord, that they could take care of their staff, whereby they could take care of the residents. Lord, we lift that up to you, Lord. We know many are operating on very thin staffs, Lord, and those people need good care. So we pray for them. We pray for Charity tomorrow, Lord. We pray that you would give her a healthy baby and bring her through the C-section, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for testimonies that encourage our hearts as we begin the service. Thank you for Trevor's opportunity to lead his co-worker to Christ. And Brother Ed, Lord, just seeing your hand, the Father, involved in his life. And Lord, bringing perspective and comfort, Lord, thank you for your goodness. And, Lord, we're excited to be together tonight. Lord, the assembly of believers is very, very special to all of us. And, Lord, we're privileged, Lord. Thank you for our local church and our community. In Jesus' name, amen. These two cards, this from, this one's only got about three sentences. And this looks like Todd Keith. Yep, Todd Keith. Dear Mount Zion Church family, thank you so much for the bag of goodies and notes. It is always such an encouragement to hear from you all and to know I have people back home praying for me. I look forward to seeing you all shortly. He's going to finish up his schooling except for one class. Be with us this summer here at home. Hopefully be able to get a job. And then we are talking with missionaries over in the Middle East. And it's very likely that in the late fall and early into next year, somewhere in that window, he will be taking a survey trip to Tajikistan for the purpose of enrolling in language school over there. And so you're going to be hearing more and more about those things, but you should be praying for us for wisdom, for the right connections. Obviously, we don't want him over there by himself. We want a good support team, and we're working with some missionaries on that front right now. But we're excited about his burden to reach the people, the Afghani refugees coming over from Afghanistan into the region there. And we're excited about what God's put on his heart in that area. And so I just want to give you a little update in relationship to his card. Then this card is from Brother Delatol. Pastor Starr and church family, we want to thank you for the opportunity of presenting our burden for Santa Barbara to your church. It was a joy to meet once again the friendly people of your great church and to hear what the Lord is doing there. We enjoyed coffee with Pastor Todd and going to lunch with Brother Dave. We always enjoy being here at this wonderful church, knowing that our church in Illinois was greatly helped by the prayers and support of your people. Your prophet's chamber is very comfortable, and we like the new beds in the second bedroom. We also want to thank you for the extremely generous love offering, which will be a great help in our travels. Thank you for his glory, Chad Delatole and family. And, of course, they're under consideration for support. They planted a church in Illinois, now going out to California to plant another church. On the docket tonight, we have Esther and Violet, who desire to go to Ghana to be used by the Lord as ambassadors for Christ, right? Ambassadors to take the gospel. And so they're going to give you a presentation as it works in our church. If you're in our church and you want to go on a short-term missions trip, it starts with talking with the pastor. That's where it starts. It actually starts in your personal life of being faithful to the Lord and being a faithful witness where you're at, being faithful in your church. And, of course, these ladies have been used by the Lord in our church and getting some college education and all of that. And then we look at that, make sure that the missionaries that they're looking to go with, that we line up doctrinally, we line up practically. And then we try to support our members that go with 30% of their trip costs. So they give me a budget, or we work on a budget together, and then we give a 30% check out of the missions fund to each one of them going. And then they give a presentation like they're giving tonight, and we'll give an offering on top of that 30% tonight to bless them and help them. And then they'll give a report on the back end. So they're giving a presentation tonight. My girls are giving a report on Wednesday night from their trip. And then next Sunday night, I'm going to give you a little report of our trip over to the Philippines and how God used us over there. All right? So I don't want to take any more of their time. Esther is very, very concise in her talking. And so is Violet. So no pressure, all right? Ladies?
Okay, it's on now. So as he said, me and Esther are very excited to be going to Ghana, West Africa. And we're actually two of a group from my college and where Esther went to college, just a small group. So Ghana is in West Africa, as I said, and it's surrounded by Burkina Faso, Togo, and Ivory Coast. And so that's just a little map of where exactly we'll be going in Africa. We'll be working with two pastors, a pastor and an evangelist, actually, that went to BCM with us. Neither of us were actually in school with Akula Daramani, but he is sent out from there, and he's a native from there. And then also evangelist Alexander Tingbani, who I was in school with, Esther was in school with, and I'm really excited to be working with him again and his wife and daughter. Also, Todd Keith was able to work with them and some other local pastors as well while we're there.
All right, so what we're going to be doing while we're there, we're going to fly out. Actually, we have to fly out from Chicago, and then we'll be heading to Accra, which is the capital of Ghana. And we're going to be there and helping with some evangelism and then attend the church over the weekend. And then we are going to fly from there on Monday to I just blanked out, even though I have it right here. Anyway, Wa, Ghana, which if you saw on the other screen, it's in the northwestern corner of Ghana. And that's where Brother Tingbani, who is the evangelist there, and then Pastor Aquila right there, that's where they're based out of. And that's where we're going to be spending the bulk of our trip there. And we're going to be staying in some of the college facilities there. They have a small Bible college there. And we're going to get to do some evangelism in the open markets, the bush, different villages, various opportunities like that. And then we're going to get a chance to be part of the radio ministry there. We're going to be preaching. No, just kidding. The guys are going to be preaching, and then us girls will get a chance to minister along with the rest of our team. We're going to be doing some music over the radio as well. And then we get to assist with some local churches as well there, Warella Baptist Church and Faith Fundamental Baptist Church. And then the guys will get to preach again for those church services. And then our whole team will minister in music there as well. And then we have the possibility of giving some music lessons to the people of the church there, as well as helping out with some Bible studies there. And then the second week, our main focus of the ministry is we're going to actually be helping with, hopefully, what's going to be a new church. So it's going to be led by Brother Tingbani, and during the mornings, we're going to be doing evangelism and then inviting people out to services that we're going to hold in the evenings in different places. And Lord willing, that's going to be the start of a new church plant. So that's super exciting. And then we'll leave Ghana on a Friday and then get back to Wisconsin on a Saturday. So long travel in between there, but it's an exciting trip. So you guys have a super important part. You get to partner with us in prayer, and so there are some specific prayer requests that we would love you all to pray with us about. One of those would be to be leaving an everlasting impact behind in the churches and the fields while we serve there, just some different things on there, and then to see souls saved, obviously, and disciples added, made and added to the church, some leaders as well, just to be able to assist the current believers there in their ministry. And then to be an encouragement to the believers who are there for gospel advance and for multiplication of believers. And finally, as Esther mentioned, to see a church planted while we're there, that would be a huge answer to the prayer. So if you guys could partner with us in prayer, that would be amazing. And you all get to see fruit from it too, eternally.
So 1 Chronicles 16:24 says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations." And we're excited to be a part of this opportunity to see the Great Commission, part of the Great Commission filled in Ghana. And as she said, you guys can definitely be a huge, huge part. Don't underestimate what your prayers can do. We really appreciate it, not just while we're there, but for our whole group as we prepare, especially for the leaders. And especially for the guys as they get a chance to preach. But we're looking forward to this, and thanks for letting us share our trip with you.
I think I'll have our ushers come right now, if they will, and we'll go ahead and take up the offering for them. So this offering is going to Violet and Esther for the trip, and then we'll have our regular tithes and offering for the church a little bit later tonight, but we'll go ahead and take this offering now and then give you a chance to give in the regular offering a little bit later. Right? Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. And Evan Daugherty, would you pray over this offering that God would multiply it for these ladies that are going?
Please turn to hymn number 530. Hymn number 530. Orchestra choir, please come on up. On the first stanza here, we'll sing just the first and final stanzas of hymn number 530, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. seated. I believe we'll have our choir at this time. Stand with me, please. Turn to hymn number 209. Hymn number 209, Is It the Crowning Day? Again, we'll sing just the first and the final stanzas of hymn number 209.
Jesus offering to the poor. Honor your Lord.
Please be seated. Your Bibles now, John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. When you found John chapter 4, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading in verse 31. John chapter 4, starting in verse 31. Bible says, John chapter 4, verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you that we can gather again in your name. Lord, we thank you for the music that has honored you. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you've shown us what godly music is. And Lord, we just rejoice in that. And Lord, we certainly want our music to be lifted up in worship of you. But now, Lord, we gather around your word. And Lord, we do rejoice over your word. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to listen for the Holy Spirit tonight, to what the Holy Spirit has for each of us individually. Lord, help us to listen with attentive ears and, Lord, open hearts. Lord, not that we would just hear, but we would be doers of your word. I ask, Lord, that you'd be with our preacher now. Give him the words you want him to speak. Help us, Lord, to obey that which you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We're in this chapter in John chapter 4, and John chapter 4 is the passage on Jesus going through Samaria, where he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And of course, we know that he reaches the Samaritan woman. He has the encounter with the Samaritan woman. It is a powerful illustration of God's omniscience. Remember, she told him, and he told her how many husbands she had. God knows everything about us. Everything about us. It's also a powerful illustration of the woman seeing her field to reach for Christ. When the disciples returned from obtaining food, they were shocked that Jesus was conversing with this woman, especially a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't mix oil and water. They were a lower class, so to speak, and Jews were kind of kept Samaritans at arm's length. But they did not interrupt. They were learning that their master knew what he was doing and did not need their counsel. And then he said, I have food to eat of that ye know not of. And I don't know how I would have responded to that statement by Christ. They're bringing food, and he says, I have food to eat of that you know not of. And I don't know if they understood what he was talking about, but what he was saying was that his work in the field was fulfilling and nourishing him. If you study Christ in John chapter 2, he was in Jerusalem in verse number 23. In John chapter 3, verse 22, he was in Judea. And in John chapter 4, he was in Samaria. Do we have that pattern anywhere else in Scripture, i.e. Acts chapter 1? But ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And Christ's pattern in John, opening up the book of John, is Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I think that's interesting. Philip Brooks said this, seek your life's nourishment in your life's work. In other words, the will of God ought to be our source of strength and satisfaction as a child of God. And his work in the harvest field and working with the Samaritan woman, that was fulfilling. That was nourishing him in his life. Evangelizing, witnessing, leading someone to saving faith is nourishing and fulfilling for those who do it. It is more satisfying than the richest bread and meat in the world. When Jesus worked in his field sharing the gospel, it fed his soul. So in John chapter 4, we read about a woman who was no longer thirsty because she drank of the living water of Christ. And we read about Jesus who was no longer hungry because he testified of himself to that lady. Interesting chapter in Scripture. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Look on your field. Look on your field. I believe on the authority of Scripture, I can declare this truth tonight. It is God's will for your life to look on your field. It is God's will for your life to look on your field. You understand there are three simple truths I want to give you tonight. Number one, you are planted where you're at with fields right around you. You are planted where you're at with fields right around you. You realize that God invaded the field of the world with His Son and the seed of the gospel. God broke into this world with His Son when He arrived in a manger, and the seed of the gospel was planted through Jesus Christ. There's a couple things you need to learn about the harvest tonight. Number one, the harvest is global. It is global. I was never more reminded of that than in our recent trip over to the Philippines. On the flight over to the Philippines, I had a 75-year-old lady by the name of Edna who sat next to me. She's a Filipino. She owns some coconut plantations over in the Philippines. She had lived in Florida for the past 8 years with her family. There were some things that happened that caused great conflict in her family, and so she had to go back to the Philippines to finish out her life. I began to witness to Edna on the plane. She did not receive Christ. I got her address. That was on Wednesday. We arrived Wednesday morning in the Philippines around 7 a.m. Of course, we were there a couple of days, and then we had the Shepherd's Retreat on Saturday. At the Shepherd's Retreat, I met a pastor who lives in the same town that Edna lives in. So I gave the address to the pastor, and him and his wife went and visited Edna in that town in the Philippines and found out that she had been in the hospital. She needs to know Christ, and our prayer is that that pastor and his wife now will be able to minister and see her come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. I was in the Wednesday night service in the Philippines. Right when we arrived that day, I preached that night, met a lady by the name of Carmelita. Carmelita was the mother of a lady in Pastor Bill's church. Her and her husband were there, older folks. Her husband was in the military, the Korean or the Filipino military. And they came that Wednesday night, and then they came the following Wednesday night. And she raised her hand at the end of the service that she was not saved. The harvest is global. We're in Korea, and we're sitting in a church that has a Korean pastor that's reaching Filipinos who are coming over to work in Korea so that they can send money back to their family in the Philippines. And it's an English-speaking church, and 12 new Filipinos show up that morning in that church from all over the Philippines. They give them Korean classes so that they can learn Korean. And in the midst of that, they introduce them to Jesus Christ. The harvest is global. I'm on a bus tour, me and my wife. We meet a man by the name of Evan Jacobson. His girlfriend, Josie, who are from Los Angeles. We get through the bus tour, go our separate ways. We go to the airport the next day to jump a plane to go to another part of Korea. Guess who's at the gate but Evan and Josie? He comes over and starts talking to me, and I told him, I said, this is a divine appointment. And I said, I need to share with you why we're meeting again. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He began to plant that seed in his heart. And so we get off the plane, go our separate ways for 2 days. We're coming back from church on Sunday. We stop by a falls there, And we're getting out to just take a snapshot of the falls. And who do we meet but Evan and Josie for the third time? The harvest is global. We're sending two young ladies to Africa to evangelize, see a church started. Why? Because the harvest is global. Right? Be reminded tonight that it's global, but also be reminded that it's local. It's local. God invaded the field of the world with His Son, but the fields around you, the local fields, need the seeds planted. I like the fields as I see them right now around us, the physical fields around us as I drive to church. But I like them much better when there's things growing. For the farmers, it's getting plant season. And seeds have to be planted. If there's going to be a harvest, seeds have to be planted. And they plant them, and they plant them, they plant the seeds in the ground with great expectation that they will produce. Now, brethren, I want to help you to look into your field tonight, because I want you to know that when we are planting seeds, we are planting incorruptible seeds of the Word of God. And people are born again by the incorruptible seed. What does that mean? There's no corruptness in it. Therefore, it's not going to die. This incorruptible seed of the Word of God, when we plant it in people's lives, when we plant it in our fields, God does something with that seed. Now, we have to believe that, or we might as well throw this whole thing up and say, forget it. We've got to believe in the seed. And the seed needs planted. And who is the seed planted by but people that are believers? We're the ones that plant the seed. We're the ones that are to have our eyes on the fields. I'm talking tonight about your drive to church. I'm talking about the homes that you pass on the way to work. For me, I have two ways to get to church. Come out Brownton and come out to Route 74. I was driving that the other day thinking about this message and looking at those homes and thinking, you know what? I've never knocked on those doors. And that door's a mile from me? Less than a mile from me? That's my field. What about your field? What about the back roads that you get to church on? You ever knocked on those doors? You ever taken some flyers? Said, you know what? I'm just going to make my field know about special services where I know the gospel is going to be preached. I'm talking about your field tonight. I'm talking about your local field. I'm talking about the neighbors. I'm talking about the hairdressers. I'm talking about the cashiers. Talking about the barbers, talking about the co-workers, talking about the divine appointments that you have with people. And the will of God is for you to look on your field. Look on your field. You ever consider that there may be more fields for you to look on? Some of you have moved into a new neighborhood. I ask you tonight to look on your field. Look around you. God's placed you in the middle of a harvest field. God's given us as a church some new harvest fields this year to sow in. Thank God for that. I think of maybe a new harvest field this summer of having a backyard Bible club. Maybe the Lord would put that in somebody's heart to look into that field. Think of those the Lord would have you work on over the next couple of weeks to get to church for Family and Friends Day. But if we never look on the field, we never plant the seed. Your field needs your vision. Verse number 35 of John chapter 4, the Bible says, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And may I say, when Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, he didn't plan for it to stop with the look. He planned for the look to affect and move them to action. Your field needs your vision. Your neighbors need your vision. They need you to look on them. They need you to look on them with the idea that there's probably somebody around here that would become a believer if I just talked to them, if I just cared for them, if I just prayed for them. Your field needs your vision. Your field possibly could include many. In our text, John chapter 4, look down at verse number 39. Verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Many, do you see that word? And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For what? The saying of the woman. Notice, it doesn't say the saying of many women. It says the saying of the woman. Many. One touched many. Have you ever got the vision in your own soul that your life, your one life, could touch a harvest field of many? That's what happened with the Samaritan woman. And it wasn't like she was Mrs. Personality. It wasn't like she was the leader of the town. My word, this lady was an adulteress. This lady really had nothing to offer to a community, but she did have Jesus to offer. Look at verse number 41. And many more. Now wait, verse 39, many of the Samaritans believed because of the saying of the woman. But now, verse number 41, many more believed because of his own word. Or in other words, there was a start of a harvest. There were many that came to Christ. But then there were many more that came and heard his word and were saved. Where did it all start? It started by one lady looking on her field. There's one Sunday school teacher that looked on his field. And there happened to be a D.L. Moody in his class. And he preached and he taught D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody got saved. One reaching one. But D.L. Moody reached thousands. Many more believed. Do you understand the potential, church, tonight? If all of us would just look on our field. What God does with one that looks on their field. Understand, the Samaritan woman had just gotten saved. This wasn't a seasoned believer. This wasn't somebody that had been in church for 25 years. This somebody that just got saved. I mean, just got saved. But she saw her first priority was to look on her field. I got to go tell somebody what happened to me. And many believed. And many more believed. Because one lady, not a preacher, one lady looked on her field. Your field may include many. Well, preacher, I live out in the country. I understand. But you have no idea where that one witness, that one planting of one seed is going to lead in life, how God's going to use that. But can I say this? If you don't plant any seeds, if we don't take time to look on the field, then don't expect there to be many or many more if we don't have time to look on the field. Wouldn't it be great if your field was no longer barren? Wouldn't it be great if at your workplace there was one that got saved and another that got saved? Over a period of 5 or 10 years, all of a sudden you got other believers around you. You can share prayer requests with. You can tag team and praying for your bosses and supervisors. Wouldn't it be great if your neighborhood, you weren't the only believers in your neighborhood? Because you really began to reach your field. Your field. And I say tonight about your field, refuse to be content with past harvest. Jesus didn't say here, go look on the fields and look at the harvest you got before. He said, get your eyes on the present. On the present, there is a harvest. Look on the fields right now, for they are white already to harvest. You understand that your field is in the process of ripening? Your field. God's in the midst of ripening your field. Now, he was speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to them probably in November, December, early planting, that they have some time off, so to speak, before they're out harvesting the crop. He says, don't you say yet there's 4 months to harvest? But he says, you ain't got no time to rest. Look, lift your eyes and look on the harvest. It's white already to harvest. What is he saying? That's a spiritual truth. He's saying, I'm already working in your field. You just got to do your part. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe God's already working at your job? You just got to look at your field and rest by planting some seed. Do you believe God's already working in the hearts in your neighborhood? Listen, man, I've watched my neighbors hit hard times. And that is the work of God. I've watched them break. I've watched them come to my door on a couple of different occasions and say, I need to talk to you. I don't know what to do in my life. That's God. That's God ripening the field and ripening the harvest. Friends, we've got to look on our fields. God is working in our fields, in our ministry fields, in the nursing home field, in the youth development center field, in the VBS field, in our Sunday school class fields, in the Baltimore Rescue Mission fields, in the outreaches of our church. God is ripening people for the harvest, for the gospel. You got to believe that tonight. You got to believe that the fields are already white unto harvest. I'm talking about your local fields. God's working in your midst. Would you get your eyes on your field? See with me in your mind's eye the Samaritan men to whom the woman had witnessed coming toward Jesus. And there was some kind of work because they were ready to put their belief in Him. That is an internal work of the Spirit. We don't manipulate people to Christ. We don't try to sell Christ. We don't twist people's arms to come to Christ. When somebody comes to Christ, it is evidence of a Spirit work inside. God, the Holy Spirit, drawing them. No man comes to the Father except they're drawn. They're drawn. That's ripening. That's work of the Spirit. That's harvest time. Refuse to be content with the past. Your field is in the process of ripening. Who knows what God's doing in the hearts around you to soften their hearts? You know what? There's a lot of people that have a hard shell. But you know what? The truth is every person has a heart. And that hard shell may be covering things, but that doesn't fully tell you all that's going on in the heart. Who knows how God is bringing their dead religion to an end? Where they're in search of something real. Who knows the inner conflict that's developing in their hearts where they're searching for true peace? Who knows the fear that's developing in their heart about the future and the end of the world? You can't see these things, can you? But these are the inner workings of the Spirit to set people up to receive the gospel. Who knows the lack of purpose they are living with? Who knows even possibly the consideration of taking their own life that's in your neighborhood? It's everywhere today, by the way. Who knows the heartache that has hit their home and the search for true comfort, help, and somebody that cares? Who knows the search that is taking place in their hearts for something to grasp onto that is truth? Who knows the questions they are facing that are unanswered, that has confused them, but they're in search of the truth? Who knows the weight of raising children where they are seen? Where do I take my kids? How am I going to raise kids in this culture? Is there anybody to help me? Is there anybody that will love my children? That will teach my children? Is there a safe haven for my children in this violent, wicked world that's gobbling kids up? Who knows in your neighborhood who's going through that? Your field is represented by people living without life. Living without life. Light and life. Your field can't expect to be harvested without someone sowing. Look at verse number 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I tell you something about your field. It's an urgent matter. Say not. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Say not. There are yet 4 months. Jesus said there aren't 4 months. You don't have 4 months. Can I talk to you about your field tonight? Who's in your field that's going to die in the next month? And they're no longer a part of your field. They're gone. They're gone into eternity. Who in your field just got diagnosed with cancer? Terminal disease has been given months to live. You know what? We will never know unless we're working in our fields. We'll never know the urgency unless we're involved in our fields. Look on your field tonight. You have the greatest access to your field. That's the truth. All of you could come and talk to my neighbor, John. But you know what? I have the greatest access to John. He's right in my field. You have the greatest access to your field. So get to it. So get in it. So work at it. So verbalize the gospel to it. You have the greatest access. When I got on those planes, I realized, who knows if these people that I'm talking to are in anybody else's field. But they're in mine for 10 hours right here, right now. And then they're out of my field. And they're out of my field probably for the rest of my life. I probably never see these people again. Of course, I got to see Evan and Josie 3 times. You understand? Windows. Your field has windows, girls, ladies going to the Ghana. Your field has a window. Window, it's a small window. It's urgent. It is possible that someone has sowed in your field. And you're the reaper. The Bible says here, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Or in other words, look on the fields, they're white already to harvest. One of the reasons they're white already to harvest, somebody's already sowed there. Somebody's already labored there. It would be horrible for that to get left, that seed, that opportunity, to be left at the sowing stage. When that person's ready to be reaped. Look on your field tonight. Get your eyes on your field. Disciples were learning a valuable lesson. God often directs us to fields that have already been sown. When I was talking to Evan in the airport and I presented Christ to him, he's a Unitarian Universalist, which doesn't believe in the Trinity, doesn't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he looked at me after I talked to him and he said, I think you're telling me the truth. He didn't come to Christ. That was a sowing time. But sowing time's as important as reaping time. Both are important. And so one soweth and another reapeth in John chapter 4, verse number 37. How many like to reap? I love to reap. Love to reap in the garden. love to reap souls. But it's not always about reaping. There's many, many times it's about sowing. Sowing. And it's labor. In this text, he speaks of labor. It's work to sow. It's work to evangelize. Do you realize your field, talking about your field tonight, your field can produce fruit unto eternal life. I like when that first zucchini comes and I can pick it. I like it. In fact, I think I picked the first zucchini out of anybody in the church. I always strive to plant those things early so I get the first one. I like zucchini. But you understand, anything I harvest from my garden cannot compare to bearing the fruit of seeing somebody get eternal life. The Bible says here in verse number 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto what? Life eternal. May I remind every one of us, can I remind you in this fast-paced America that has our minds sprawled out in every direction every day, that what you're going to take to heaven is people that have eternal life. You're going to gather fruit of people that have eternal life. People count in eternity. And the Bible says, those that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I like this. Can you get this perspective tonight in heaven? There's some places that you've sowed and not reaped, but in heaven you're going to meet the reaper. And you as the sower and the reaper are going to rejoice together over people in heaven that have eternal life. Many of us have sowed in a lot of places and not seen maybe fruit in those places. But in heaven, the picture here is, in heaven, one day the sower and the reaper are going to hook up with the soul that got saved, and they're going to rejoice together. But my friend, watch this. You're going to miss a lot of rejoicing if you don't look on your field. You're going to miss a lot of opportunities in heaven. I do not want to be in heaven watching everybody else rejoice and going, kind of feel out of place here. I never sowed. I did little looking on my field. Boy, they're rejoicing over there, and they're rejoicing over there, and they're rejoicing over there. And I don't have much rejoicing to do because I didn't sow any seed. I didn't reap any harvest. I didn't look on my field. Now, folks, it's better to think about that tonight than it is up there. It's better to get burdened about that, maybe even feel a little guilty about that tonight, and let God stir your heart about your field than to be on the other side in heaven and not have anything to rejoice about. People count. There's a promise of results here. There's a promise of rewards here. In this passage, there's a promise of rejoicing in this passage for those that will look on their fields. Your field is the key to rejoicing in your life. Your field is the key to rejoicing in your life. Listen, I don't have a better day in my life than when I see somebody come to Jesus. I'm being honest with you tonight. I have a lot of things that I enjoy in life, but there's nothing that stirs and rejoices my heart greater that when I see somebody come to Jesus. But when I hear somebody come to Jesus, when Brother Trevor stopped me in the aisle this morning and said, "Hey, Pastor, I just want you to know I was able to lead my coworker to the Lord." Whew. Glory! One added to the kingdom, one that we'll see in glory someday. Your field has a harvest that awaits you. You got to close tonight quickly. You see, there's a problem in reaching your field. It's your eyes. That's the problem. For this group, there's procrastination. Procrastination's a problem. You got to see the urgency tonight from the Holy Spirit's help and looking at the Scriptures. You got to see I got to look, and I can't look 4 months from now and 3 months from now. I got to look now. The harvest is now. Your problem in reaching your field is procrastination. Sometimes it's prejudice. They won't hear me. That Muslim won't hear me. That Mormon won't hear me. They won't listen, preacher. That drunk, they don't care about the gospel. How do you know their heart? How do you know what God's doing in their heart? The answer to that question is you don't know their heart. So every breathing person that you are in contact with is a possible harvest for the Lord. Don't wait for a different time or a better time. The harvest is now. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Or in other words, oh, it's windy today. It's not a good day to sow seed. Oh, it's cloudy today. I think it's going to rain. It's not a good day to harvest. Procrastination will keep you from looking on your field. You understand that Jesus was probably looking at the Samaritans coming to him in their white robes when he said to his disciples, look on the field, for it's white already to harvest. And he was probably talking about the Samaritans. So the disciples probably had the mentality of, stay away. Stay away. You got a gay you work with? You got a transgender you work with? Could they be ready for harvest? They could. The very type of person that the gospel reaches. As we learned this morning, the prostitute. Be careful about prejudice that will keep you from witnessing and looking on your field. Be careful of judging by outward appearances. Be careful of looking at the hopeless cases and thinking that they truly are hopeless, because no case is outside of Christ. Spurgeon, when preaching to his church on this passage, said this. I want to read it to you. Some of you good people who do nothing except go to public meetings, the Bible readings, and prophetic conferences, and other forms of spiritual indulgence would be a good deal better Christians if you would look after the poor and needy around you. If you would just tuck up your sleeves for work and go and tell the gospel to dying men, you would find your spiritual health mightily restored. For very much of the sickness of Christian comes through their having nothing to do. All feeding and no working gives men spiritual indigestion. Be idle, careless, with nothing to live for, nothing to care for, no sinner to pray for, no backslider to lead back to the cross, no trembler to encourage, no little child to tell of a Savior, no gray-headed man to enlighten in the things of God, no object, in fact, to live for. And who wonders if you begin to groan and to murmur and to look within until you are ready to die of despair? Is it easy for Christians to just come and take in without looking on the fields? Looking on the fields. I want you to think about your field. And I'm asking tonight if your field would move up the priority list. Some of us get burdened down with troubles and anxieties and burdens, and our minds get discouraged. You know what will get you out of all that? If you go look on a field. It'll help you. It'll help you with your problems if you just look on a field. One of the blessings about being in the ministry every day is your lives are about others. You don't have much time to think about your own problems and your own worries and your own fears and your own failures. You just keep looking on fields. When I'm down, I know best thing I can do is go look on a field. Go reach somebody. for Christ. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. Samaritan woman was just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. You know what? All of us are the same way. We're a nobody. But we can tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Preacher, my eyes have been on whatever. You name it. But preacher, my eyes have not been on my field. My field. Harvest is global. The harvest is local. What about your field tonight? Who's going to reach your field?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.